Welcome to the Community Fellowship Podcast, your way to stay connected with biblically themed messages, discussions, and interviews from Community Fellowship in East Barnard, Texas. Learn more about our church at the cfeb.church website, check us out on social media at CF East Barnard, or attend an in-person service at 635 Main Street in East Barnard. We are a local church that works to make the love of Christ for all humanity known to our community and the world. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy this week's content.
Hey, let me start out with this question. Have you ever done one of those ancestry.com things? You ever done one of those? I have a friend who, he did it and he found out that he's 1/64th Cherokee, right? I have another friend who found out that they were related somehow distantly to Abraham Lincoln. But I have always been very afraid to do it because I'm afraid that I'm going to find out that I'm related to some like gangster from the 1920s or something like that. Some of you in here, when I said that, you're sitting there going, oh man, I was thinking about doing that, but I've already got enough shady people in my family. I don't need to find out I'm related to somebody else, right? Well, this morning, we are actually going to kind of go do a little ancestry dive, if you will, of our own, right? Family, sometimes we can realize that they are the greatest blessing, and then sometimes they are the most miserable, and we just can't stand them on the face of the earth, right? We're just like, oh, family, sometimes you drive me nuts. You drive me nuts. But this morning, I want us to do a little ancestry dive of our own. So if you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4? Ephesians chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, there are Bibles in the seat backs in front of you. You're more than welcome to grab one of those and follow along. Or it's also going to be on the screen, so you can follow along up there as well. But Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to begin reading in verse 1.
As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father over all, who is over all and through all and in all.
Thank you, ma'am. Okay, so as we've been walking through this series that we've been doing, that's on the earliest statement of faith, the Apostles' Creed, we've summed up our beliefs in the triune nature of God. So we express that God exists in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, like we looked at last week. So as the Father and the Son and the Spirit, they have this eternal relationship that existed before anything else existed. They coexisted with one another. They can't help but share the beauty and love that they have within their relationship. They so enjoy one another that they have to share that. They have to speak to somebody else, something else, about this love that they have. Enter mankind. The reason that we exist, the reason that we're created, is that we might enjoy and experience the Trinity. That we might enjoy and experience the Trinity. Now, it's important that we understand that as we're in a relationship with the triune God, that we enjoy him as well. Just as much as he enjoys us, we enjoy him. So much so that we ourselves have to share that love with others. We can't keep it to ourselves. We want to share that love with other people. We might say it this way, that our vertical relationship with God impacts our horizontal relationship with others. In other words, the more that we grow in our closeness to God, the closer we should be growing with other people, his people specifically. Exactly what happens in his relationship as the Trinity should be happening in our relationships with one another. Jesus even addresses this in the Gospels. One day he's asked by this gentleman who comes up and he says, "What's the greatest command?" Now, remember, there's 613 Jewish commands. And so this gentleman wants Jesus to boil it down to one. He says, "What's the greatest command?" And Jesus tells him, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and the other is like it." And I can just imagine the disciples sitting there. Jesus, this gentleman asked for one answer. And you're about to go into a second answer. And Jesus is like, "I know." and the other is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Only Jesus can take a one-answer question and give us two, right? Only Jesus can do that. But that's what he's trying to help us understand. When we enjoy and experience the incredible love of the triune God, we have to share that with others. They go together. They go together. There's a folk band that I like called Cademan's Call. And in one of their songs, they capture exactly what happens with real love. Listen to these lyrics. I fell in love with you, and that love became something new. It keeps getting stronger than we ever could have longed. Love keeps growing more love. Love keeps growing more love. See, our love for God keeps growing more love. And it leads us into the who that should spill out onto. Our love for God spills out into others because of the love that we're overwhelmed with. And that's exactly where we are in this point in the creed. Because this morning we confess that we believe in the Holy Catholic Church. Now, we're going to kind of look at each of these words in that statement, Holy Catholic Church. We're going to look at each of those words. So kind of stay with me, okay? So right here in the fourth chapter of Ephesians that we just looked at, Paul is in the middle of changing directions in his letter. So he's used the first three chapters to talk about how both the Jews and the Gentiles are now being made into one family through Christ. Two groups that are adamantly opposed to one another are now becoming one in Jesus. And it's right here as Paul is kind of making this shift that he says this, you were called by God to be part of his family. Now, live your life in such a way that you'd be considered worthy of that calling. That you would be considered worthy of that calling. But here's what I want you to make sure you understand. He's not saying that your worthiness is what actually includes you into the family of God. Because he's already addressed that in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 2, he's already said, we are saved by faith in Christ. What he has already done for us. His finished work of grace on the Christ cross has already saved us. But here's what he is saying. He is saying, now that you have been made righteous by Jesus, become that righteousness by how you treat one another in love. You see, as Christians, we call these one another's of love learning to walk in holiness. Learning to walk in holiness. It's that calling that Paul is talking about there in Ephesians chapter 4. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was younger and I heard that word holy or holiness, it immediately kind of conjured up these ideas of like monks in their robes, humming and chanting and sitting and meditating on scripture. And I thought to myself, there is no way that I could ever be like that. I can't do that. Like that's so spiritual, so like sacred and spiritual. There's no way that I could ever walk in something like that. But here's what we need to understand. That's not the way the early church saw it. They didn't see it that way. They saw one another as holy. They saw one another as holy. In fact, did you know that when the early apostles write a lot of their letters to the church, that's actually how they address them, to the holy ones, to the holy ones in Ephesus, to the holy ones in Philippi. Some of your Bibles might actually say the word saints there. But that's what the word saint means. It means holy one. Okay, so hold on, because some of you are going to have a little hard time with this. If you are in here, if you've trusted in what Jesus has done, you are a holy one. Okay? You are a saint. You're a holy one. You're included in that number. If you have trusted in what Jesus did on the cross, dying for your sins, you are a holy one. The scripture tells us Christ became sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God. So Christ traded his righteousness and his holy life that he lived. He takes on the cross your sin and he gives you his righteousness. That's the exchange that happens. And his sacrificial death, the death that you deserve to die, now has made you holy and righteous. You are holy ones. And that's the first line that we see in the creed, right? As we see that you are the Holy Catholic Church. So what does that really mean, though? What does it mean to walk in holiness? What does it mean to be holy ones? Well, the word holy simply means to be set apart. It means to be set apart. Like when we say Holy Bible, we're saying this book is different. It's set apart. It's not like any other book. So when we say that of ourselves, we are set apart. We're distinct. We're different. We're unique. We're special because of what we've believed about what Jesus has done for us. So those of us who are in here who are sons and daughters of God, we are a set apart people. We're different. We're different. And as Paul kind of says in this chapter, he says, we're different because we live different. We live different. We don't act the same way that those who do not know Jesus act. For example, when others are yelling and they're kind of saying, well, I didn't get my way on this or that, I want that, we respond in humility. We respond in humility and in gentleness. Or when another person in the community starts talking behind someone's back because they didn't like something that they said or something that they did, we respond in patience, bearing with that person in love. It's exactly what Paul says here in chapter 4. We don't act like those who've never experienced the grace-filled love of Jesus. That's not the way we act. We act like those who have experienced the life-transforming forgiveness of Jesus. And we walk in love and in forgiveness towards other people. Now, since the end of 2023, when I came here to East Bernard, I started attending the Wednesday morning Bible study with a bunch of guys. The one that meets in Glory being at 5:30, ungodly time in the morning, okay? But it's one of the highlights of my week. I absolutely love it. I love it because I love getting together with those guys and hearing how God is teaching them through his word and then letting it sometimes convict me. Like what God's dealing with them, sometimes he just starts kind of pointing into my chest and saying, that's you, James, right? Now listen, this is just a shameless plug, okay? I'm going to do a little shameless plug. You heard Emily say this earlier. But if you haven't got connected into a group, right? We had group Sunday the last 2 weeks. If you haven't gotten into a group and you're like, okay, well, I missed that opportunity. Listen, don't skirt around it, all right? I know what you're trying to do. Like get plugged into a group, right? That's where we grow. That's where we're challenged. That's where faith is lived, life on life, okay? So do it. Get involved in one of those groups. Now, this Wednesday group that I was talking about, we are filled with all sorts of different people. It's not just people from our church. We have people from the Church of Christ. We have people that go to Simonton. We have people from all over. And one of my favorite things is when we introduce ourselves to like the new people that come, and we've had a lot of new guys that have been coming the last few weeks, is that we'll go around and we'll share. We'll be like, hey, this is my name. This is how long I've been part of the group. Listen, it's not an AA group, but it kind of sounds like that. This is how long I've been part of this group, right? And then we'll share what church we're with. And it's been great because we have a couple of new guys that are from the Catholic Church. And every time it gets around to them and they're like, yeah, I'm Catholic, I want to be like, me too! Because, as we're going to see in a minute, what that word means, okay? You know, as I was praying about this message series, this particular line was the one that actually caused me the most anxiety, right? There were two lines, yes, the one where Jesus goes to hell, that was absolutely one of them. But this line is actually the one that I was most concerned about. And let me tell you why. It's not because I don't understand what I believe about it or what I think the early church was trying to say. My fear, what I was intimidated by, is I was actually nervous about what some of you have grown up believing. What some of you have grown up in the tradition that you're from, what you have thought about this very word. So as I continue to pray about it, I'm still asking right now that the Holy Spirit might work in your heart to recognize and understand what it means to be Catholic from this message this morning. Even as I shared this message series with some friends a couple of weeks ago, I was just telling them, kind of going line by line, what I'm going to be talking about. And I had one lady get up in my face. I mean, she was so angry. She goes, I am never going to confess to be Catholic. I am not part of the Catholic Church. And listen, here's the thing. I believe that a lot of the reason that people have such resistance confessing this part of the creed is because they misunderstand what that word means. They misunderstand what it means to be Catholic. And maybe that's you this morning. Maybe even as I'm saying this, you're squirming around in your chair a little bit. I don't like where pastor's going this morning, right? Well, let me just say this. Buckle up, okay? Buckle up. Now, there's some of you in the room that you grew up Roman Catholic. I'm going to tell you, buckle up, okay? Because I think there's misunderstanding on both sides of the aisle when it comes to this very issue. So here's what I want to do. I want to go back and I want to look at a passage that we've already talked about a couple of weeks ago, but I want to go back to it and look. So if you have your Bible, or you can look along on the screen, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 16. You might remember this passage. We talked about it. But it's whenever Jesus is taking his disciples. Remember, he takes them to Caesarea Philippi, this place that's just filled with pagan religion and practices all over the place. Remember, there's even a temple there that's made for Caesar to celebrate and worship him as a god. And Jesus looks at the disciples and he asks this question. He says, hey, who do people say that I am? And the disciples respond and they give answers. They say, well, some people say that you're a prophet. Some people say you're John the Baptist back from the dead. And then Jesus gets really personal. And he says, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? Now I want us to pick up in verse 16. Pick up in verse 16 with me. Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. So check this out. So Peter, under God's inspiration, declares that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Remember, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago when we were walking through that part of the creed, that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah, he's the Christ, right? But let's pay careful attention to these next words. Because Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. Now catch this. Jesus immediately right here uses Simon Peter's Hebrew name, Simon. Okay? Declaring that it wasn't by your own understanding, it wasn't anything you did, it wasn't by your own logic, your own wit, that you understand the truth that God revealed to you, that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. Listen, we all know, we've seen the stories of Peter, right? He can be pretty impetuous. We see that all the way through the Gospels. He's the one that, like, the first one to act every single time. He's kind of like the self-proclaimed leader, if you will, right? He's always the first one to do anything. And this guy, he gets stuck with the bad rap of always kind of putting his foot in his mouth. So maybe that's what you're thinking right now. You're like, okay, Peter's putting his foot in his mouth again. There he goes, being the first one to respond. But look at what Jesus says. Jesus actually looks at him. He says, yes. Yes, Peter. That's exactly right. You got it. You got it. And as he does that, check what he does. He changes his name. He goes from calling him the Hebrew name to the Greek name that Jesus is now declaring over him. Why? Why is Jesus, within one sentence, why is he changing the Hebrew name of Simon to the Greek name of Peter? Well, that's because the Greek name Petros, Peter, means a small pebble or rock. Like what you might find along a path, right, that you want to go and take and go skipping rocks with it over on a pond. And the Greek right here, Petros, it's masculine in its gender, and it's identifying that it's talking about the person, Peter. Petros, okay? But then look at what Jesus says next. He says, and on this rock, now that word changes. That's not Petros. That's the word Petra. And it's feminine. And it usually means it's describing a lot of rocks. A lot of times it's a boulder, a collection of rocks all together. And Jesus uses that and he says, and on that I will build my church. So Jesus is saying, God bless you, Peter, for saying this. This confession that I am indeed the Messiah, the Christ, is what I am going to build my church on. I'm going to build it on that. Now, that church, the word church, we're going to talk about that in just a second, but let's kind of stay here for just a second, all right? Jesus is not saying the Petros, masculine and singular, that he's going to build his church. No, he says on the Petra, the confession that Peter has made, that's what he's going to build the church on. Okay, now, before all my Protestants go, amen! Let's just stop, okay? Because we do need to address this. We can't just skip over that he's changed Peter's name, right? He's changed Simon's name to Peter. We got to understand why he's doing it. There's a reason that Jesus is doing this, why he's calling him Peter specifically. So we can't just discard the fact that he's made this name change. But when he uses these two different words, it's a pun. He's trying to communicate something to us. He's communicating two things to us. The first is, Peter, you are going to have a small part to play in helping establish the church. You're going to have a part to play. Remember, Petros, small pebble. And we might remember from last week, we talked about this. We talked about how Peter was the one, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, he gets up and he preaches the gospel to the 3,000 that are gathered there that day. He's the first one who announces the gospel message to all those Jews who had come in for the Pentecost harvest. But he's also the first one to actually preach the good news to a Gentile in Acts 10, to Cornelius and his household. So Peter does play a pivotal role in helping build up the church. But Jesus is also saying that that very statement, that confession that Peter is making, that Jesus himself will build the church on that confession, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what he's going to build the church on, okay? And this is why the Apostles' Creeds even exist. You remember what we talked about, why this was created? Because it was a catechism. It was a theology that people had to believe before they were baptized. How fitting that we had a baptism today, right? But it was the theology that was built so that they would confess that when they went into the waters. And so they would say that very statement, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, my Lord and Savior. So anyone who confesses these truths, the truths of the Apostles' Creed, they are part of the Catholic Church. Okay? Anybody who believes these truths. Now that brings us to the word Catholic. Again, so many people kind of get squirmy when they hear that word. The word Catholic comes from two words. They're Latin. Cata and holos. Cata means of the, and holos means whole. Now, many of you, when you were growing up, maybe you recited this creed, especially if you were in a more evangelical church, if you were in a Protestant church, you might have said the word universal instead of Catholic. Or at least if you did, you had a little asterisk beside it that said this is what this word means, right? And that is true. That is what the word means. It means the universal truth, the universal church. That those who confess these truths, they're part of the universal, the global church. So people all over the world who believe these truths, that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah, they are part of Christ's one church. They are my brothers and sisters in the Catholic Church, by the strictest sense of what the word Catholic means, okay? And this morning, you heard Philip pray for all of the churches in our community. He prayed for all the other churches because they are our brothers and sisters. They're our brothers, sisters in Christ. And he might as well have prayed for ones in Wallace or Simonton or Katy, wherever, because if they confess these truths, they are part of our church, the one and only church. They are our brothers and sisters. This is why Paul, as he goes on in Ephesians, he says this. Listen to what he says. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So please hear me this morning. If you are keeping a brother or sister in Christ at arm's length because of some interpretation of Scripture that you guys don't agree on, and you're mad at them because they don't see it the same way, but they confess these truths, stop. Stop. They are your brother and sister in Christ. So stop. Stop keeping them at arm's length. You know, one of the things I think is the greatest thing is when people love Jesus but have a different opinion than you. When they love Jesus and there's the fruit of Jesus in their life, but they have a different opinion, I actually think that's one of the most beautiful things whenever we can come together and we can talk about those things. That's part of the reason I love that Wednesday morning study. We see things from different angles. That is okay. We all confess the truths that are found in the Apostles' Creed. That's what matters. These things, not these things, right? We've said this over and over. It's incredible. It's the best thing for us. Because listen, I promise you, I have seen what it looks like to be in the echo chamber where you only stay with people who believe the same things about everything that you believe. And I can promise you, it is dangerous. I have seen good friends of mine deeply hurt because some group of people stayed in the echo chamber, wouldn't think about things outside, seeing a scripture a different way. It's important that we recognize our brothers and sisters for who our brothers and sisters are. Okay, so now maybe a minute ago you heard me, and as I was saying the word community, as we were kind of describing the other churches that are here in East Bernard and also in other places, maybe you heard me use that word. That was deeply intentional. I did that on purpose, okay? Because of this next word that we're about to look at in the Creed. Because the next word is church, the Holy Catholic Church. Really, we can also include the next line there too, the communion of the saints, right? We can include that because they really mean the same thing. The word that's used throughout the New Testament for church is the Greek word ekklesia. And it literally means the called out assembly. So its primary use was used to gather people into the public square so that they might be able to deliberate and debate over a specific matter, something that they were trying to talk about. So here's what would happen. The governor or the magistrate of that local area, he would come to the town square and he would call people out to come and to have a conversation about a specific matter, to come and to talk about stuff. And in the early New Testament, the authors of the New Testament, they actually adopted this language of ecclesia to talk about the people of God who are called out as they're following Jesus. They were the ones who had been called out to live in a specific way, in holiness, like we talked about earlier. They were honoring Christ with their lives. And they were making him known to other people that they might be included in that assembly. And again, that's why communion of saints is kind of redundant right here. It's the gathering. It's the assembly of those who have been made holy by Jesus. It is this right here. Why we gather together. The holy ones called to come and worship, to give praise and adoration to the one who saved us. That's why we gather together. However, there's an important aspect in that next line, in that communion of saints that I want you to see. Because the word communion is another one of those compound words. It's two words in one. It's the word com, which means together with, right? And union, which means unity or one. So we are coming together as the holy ones together in unity. And here's the point that it's trying to make. Please hear me this morning. There are no such thing as rogue Christians. There are no such thing as on your own Christians, doing it by myself. So many people love to quote the scripture where it's like, if two or more are gathered, right? First of all, they're using that out of context. Go read the context of that. But second of all, that's not what this is about. It is about us coming together, us gathering together because we are good for one another. We need each other. There are no John Waynes in Christianity. There are no John Waynes. There's no Clint Eastwoods riding off into the sunset because he's the lone person for truth. No. We're the church together. We need each other. We've said this a million times, that we grow in Christ's likeness in groups. We don't grow by ourselves. We grow together. We grow together. We need each other. You know, my dad was an incredible man. And despite some of the baggage of his upbringing and things that had happened to him in his past, he and my mom, they built an incredible family that cared deeply for one another, loved each other out of respect. I'm grateful for that. And for the longest time, I saw him as kind of one of these pull yourself up by your bootstraps, you know, kind of guys that take responsibility even if you're doing it alone kind of guys. It's the picture that I always had of my dad. He was the lone one, the kind of like I said a minute ago, the Clint Eastwood riding off into the sunset for truth, right? And living underneath that shadow of my dad and that picture that I had of my dad was a really tall order to try to live up to until a few years ago when I realized that wasn't the truth about my dad. The truth about my dad is that he had men in his life asking him hard questions about his character. He was in a community of people asking him the hard questions, asking him why he thought certain way about certain things. And I'm grateful for those men because they made my father who my father was to me. They made him who he was. We are not created to live this life alone. We were created for community. If the very God that we love is a community himself, why do we think that we should be able to be off on our own as Christians? It doesn't work that way. Are you sometimes going to get hurt? You bet you are. They're people. They're sinners. Okay? Is it going to be some people that are the closest to you that do it? Probably. Yes, absolutely. But even in that, God is refining you. He's making you more like his son. He's making you more like Jesus in the midst of that process. I think I've shared this story, but several years ago, I was going through a really difficult time in ministry. I had been hurt by church leadership. One of those church hurt kind of deals. I had seen them literally accuse a pastor that we had over us who had lost 25 pounds because he was dealing with his wife's cancer. They accused him of being filled with Satan. They said, "You're filled with Satan." And because of that, and I really think it was because of this, I think they wanted power. They wanted to be able to call the shots for the church and do what they wanted to do. They removed him from his position. And it hurt really badly because this is a man who had loved my family really, really well and cared for us. And I remember going to my dad and I said, "That's it, Dad, I'm done. I'm done. I love Jesus, but I cannot do this church thing anymore." And I will never forget what my dad said. He said, "Jesus died for the church. He didn't just die for you, James. He died for the church." Some of you in this morning, that's what you think. You've been thinking, "Let's do church. I do church. Oh yeah, church. That's that place I go to over there. It's over on Leverage Street." Hear me say this. The church is not a building. The church is a people. The church is a people. It is a family that you belong to. Slipping in and slipping out, not talking with anybody, not letting people really know what's going on in your life, that's not church. That's a club. That's a club. Clubs are a place that you go to and enjoy an activity. Clubs usually have people from similar economic and social backgrounds as part of their membership. A club offers you amenities that you pay for. Families, on the other hand, they come together to share with one another. Families have different personalities. Family have grandparents that are mature and they have immature little toddlers running around. Families give to help take care of one another. Jesus died for that family. The whole family, those who confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he's Savior. And in him, we are all one family. We're all one family. And if you belong to this family, this local expression of his family, you know our hearts. Our hearts are that we would grow together so that we might show the love of Jesus to those around us. That's our heart. That's what we desire. That's why we're okay and we're comfortable with those who make us uncomfortable. Because that's what it looks like to be part of the family. Let's pray. Father, this morning we thank you for the truth that there is one family in Jesus Christ. Those who confess him as Lord, as Savior, as Messiah. God, for those of us in here this morning that maybe have someone that's difficult that we're dealing with, that we don't agree with all the different theological issues, especially as we interpret Scripture, would you just give us grace towards them? God, would you help us to see them as our brother or sister in Christ and not somebody that we need to isolate? Father, would you help us to be comfortable in confessing the Catholicism of our faith, that we are united together as one church because of that confession of what Jesus has done for us. We pray this in his name. Amen.
If you have questions about this week's message, or would like to start a conversation with someone about what it means to walk with Christ, please email pastor@cfeb.church. You can find earlier episodes of our podcast on our website at cfeb.church, where you can also give online to help support community fellowship in our mission to reflect and share Christ's love. We can also be found on many major distribution platforms like Apple Podcasts, where you can subscribe to stay connected. Thank you again for listening. Now go out and love one another like Jesus did.